It's the Ray Appleton Podcast from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
You know, just listening to my spot there for a little tidbit about Lou Rodman's new place. I every time I go in there, there's something different. The place is so chameleon. I mean, if you need anything for your home, period, in the way of furnishings, it's beyond the whole barstool phase that he started way back when. I mean, it's just there. It's so cool. And the Amish department now, which is like this whole massive store, almost as big as the old store on Blackstone, is phenomenal. I mean, this stuff is like art. I'm goofy. I've become a furniture freak in my old age. I'm so attracted to it. Most of the stuff in my house is Amish now, and not cheap, as I've learned. But you talk about getting what you pay for and having something that's heirloom quality. It's for real, man. I mean, he's done such a great job. It blows me away. Anyway, we got some stuff coming up about the aftermath of the Silicon Valley Bank failure and now their parent company filing for Chapter 11 protection. And what it's done to pension funds and all that. And it's boring numbers stuff, but God bless America. It's so important to the condition of the our banks around the country. But phone calls. Gary, welcome to KMJ. Want a couple of words about Kamala Harris? What's on your mind?
I love you, Ray. You're the best.
Oh, man. Thank you. Wow.
I got two comments.
Sure.
Whatever happened to the theory of getting the best person for the job? Like, I used to be in business. I didn't hire the worst. I always hired the best for the job. That's one comment. I got a second one about, you were talking about Mayor Bowser a week or so ago. I came up with a little saying. I was power washing my roof, nothing else better to do except think. And I was thinking about Mayor Bass. I'm thinking, Bass, I've already caught my limit. Throw this one back.
Okay, good one. I appreciate. Thank you for the comments, compliments. But what you said about hiring the best person for the job, you know, in politics, that's just been, you know, deep fried and thrown by the wayside. It, who will get me elected and who is, you know, most politically correct? I mean, and there is no greater example of that in Kamala Harris. It's not her fault, but that she's the politically correct choice, period, end of statement. Sad, isn't it? Very sad. There are a couple of stories here that are so different. I flinched when I saw this one. And the headline reads this way. 1 in 5 U.S. citizens support a national divorce. From what? But that just hangs right there. 1 in 5 citizens in black and white. 1 in 5 U.S. citizens support a national divorce. So I did the math. So we got about 66 million, approximately 20% of the United States population, believe that a national divorce is a good idea for the country, according to this poll that was released yesterday. Now, the poll claimed more Republicans favor a national divorce than independents or Democrats, with 25% of the Republicans favoring a national divorce versus 20% of the independents, 16% of the Democrats. But independents ranked the highest when asked if they would support their state seceding from the union at 19%. That's the national divorce that we're talking about. Oh, like I said during the monologue, this is kind of a heartbreaker. You know, quote, Cliff Young, who's the president of Ipsos U.S. Public Affairs, which conducted the poll, telling the media, Americans' deep political fault lines are clear and ingrained in our psyche and politics. Talk of national divorce or secession leaves us with a divided nation with a little hope of reconciliation. That's a great statement. Talk of divorce or secession from the Union leaves us with a divided nation and a little hope of reconciliation. See, we can't allow this to happen. We cannot allow this to happen. But 20% of Americans think it would be good for the country. Good how? I mean, I get it. Oh, God, do I get it. But, you know, in union, there's strength. It's, yeah, an old Latin saying. I used to be able to say it in Latin because I took 12 years of Latin, but I've forgotten all of it now. So, you know, men or individuals who make less than $50,000 a year, residents in the South and residents in the West, were most likely to support the split. So this discussion around a national divorce was ignited by Marjorie Taylor Greene, Republican from Georgia. She's been labeled kind of a whack job. She's not a whack job. She's a very smart lady. She's just a very radical lady, okay? And she said there should be a divorce between the red states and the blue states, which would shrink the federal government. Now, she clarified that she was not calling for a civil war. But she was concerned that the country was heading in that direction, as I think many of us are. Quote, people are absolutely fed up and disgusted with left-wing insanity and the disaster of an American last policy. Amen. Amen. National divorce is not a civil war. But Biden and the neocons are leading us into World War III while forcing corporate ESG and gender confusion on our kids. Okay, I can't disagree. Another question that was asked in this poll, I even feel kind of weird telling you about this, but the numbers were so strong, I had to. Another question in the poll asked the public whether it was optimistic about the state of democracy in the U.S., and less than half said yes, 37%. 60% said the country should work together to bridge the divide and fix the hyperpolarization. Well, I'll kiss that one on the lips. The number was significantly higher than the 10% who said people should just let things be, and 30% who claim they did not know how to fix problems. Although a notable number of people who support the split was apparent, and that's why I'm bringing this to you. No state has a clear consensus in favor of leaving the country, meaning the results will not likely lead to any actual separation. You follow me? Even though there was collectively a high number, but that's out of 50 states. It wasn't like, you know, one state was there with 67% of the respondents saying yes. But this to me, I mean, I get it. But when you have 66 million people, 20% of the population saying that a national divorce would be a good idea, secession would be a good idea. Whew. That's, I mean, have we've gotten to that, have we? Wow. Wow. That is so genuinely sad. And I don't know quite how to react to it, other than just to, I bring you the story as kind of an eye-opener so we can think as individuals how we're going to make better our situation. We have to, for the survival of all of us during these times. I don't think there's any choice here. Like I said, I'm kind of, you know, embarrassed and sad to be the purveyor of doom and gloom, but being, you know, close to war and our economic situation is horrible, and our leadership is the weakest it's probably ever been. It's just kind of a scary time, you know. Speaking of scary, let me give you today's Daily Buzz question. Governor Newsom is going to spend $1 billion to reduce homelessness by 15%. I don't know where he gets that. If I spend $1 billion, it'll go away by 15%. Why not spend $1 billion and get rid of all of it? Or why not spend anything and get rid of all of it? And he knows how, but he won't. So the question again, Newsom will spend $1 billion to reduce homelessness by 15%. Will it work, or will it just attract more homeless? I think we know the answer to that, but you can let us know. KMJNow.com. The Buzz Question is sponsored by the Buzz Allergy, Asthma, and Sinus Centers. Break time. 490-5858 if you want to comment on anything we've discussed. 800-776-5858. News Talk 580-1059, KMJ, the Ray Appleton Program, till 2. Don't forget, before the top of the show, before it's all over at 2, I'll have one more pair of some tickets to give away to a great show, Jeff Dunham, Save Mart Center, next week. Yes. I'll tell you when to call. Not right now, but soon.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now, here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.
The Ray Appleton Podcast.
It's free.
KMJNow.com.
Coming up, aside from the Gwyneth Paltrow story of her using, well, a particular element in a particular area of her body. Hopefully you heard that earlier. I'm trying to keep this out of the lunch hour, all right. We also have a story about a Stanford medical professor who's been tasked with investigating UFO-inflicted brain injuries that killed over 100 troops. You can file that under the heading of You Decide. Ron DeSantis. There's all kinds of stuff in the news today about Ron DeSantis. I don't think I can get to any of it. I mean, all of it, excuse me. But he made some claims about the war in Ukraine earlier this week that really sharply divided opinion amongst all Americans, a number of Americans, but mostly Republicans, with the pundits digging through every single word that he said for, you know, real meaning. Quote, while the U.S. has many vital national interests, securing our borders, addressing our crisis of readiness within our military, achieving energy, security, and independence, and checking economic and cultural and military power of the Chinese Communist Party, becoming further entangled in a territorial dispute between Ukraine and Russia is not one of them. I certainly agree with everything that he says we need to get a rope around. Of course, I feel differently about Ukraine and the Russian incursion in there. The two statements are calling the war a territorial dispute, which is it is not. And is it vital to our national interest? The only thing that's vital to our national interest, and I know a lot of you are not happy with us being involved in Ukraine to the degree that we are, but the only thing that's in our vital national interest is peace and subduing Russian aggression, because eventually it'll come our way. That's why we have to be vitally interested in peace. And his words invited scores of opposition from, you know, other GOP candidates, presidential candidates, scores of Republicans and Democrats. Senator Roger Wicker, a Republican, and Shelley Moore Caputo, and Lindsey Graham, and they've all completely and made it well known that they disagree with DeSantis, with Graham telling the news media to say this doesn't matter is to say war crimes don't matter. Yeah. Nikki Haley accused the Florida governor of copying, you know, former President Trump. Although I've got his response to the situation in Ukraine. It's a little bit different. You know, Nikki Haley said Republicans deserve a choice, not an echo. But DeSantis' comments were revealed Monday on Fox in response to a questionnaire that I think Tucker Carlson sent out to all of the announced and prospective Republican wannabes. And the governor's comments contrasted those of former Vice President Mike Pence and those of Nikki Haley, but mostly kind of aligned with Trump, but not chapter and verse. You know, they asked, who cares what the methodology was? But in response, DeSantis says he opposes a forced regime change in Russia. And he opined that war is drawing Russia closer and closer to China, this war. Yeah, maybe. And he attacked, you know, Joe Biden's blank check, you know, payments to Ukraine, as long as it takes slogan. And I found that bothersome, too. I think this president that we have now really needs to use his power of the bully pulpit, which he does not use. I mean, he's so freaking weak. Oh, my God. But he needs to use that power of the bully pulpit to draw other countries, European countries, closer into this with their finances. I mean, because it's at their doorstep, you know. So, I mean, that I agree with. Germany, England, you know, France, all of them. The Eastern European nations, I mean, Eastern and Western, but mostly Eastern. They've got to dive in. Slovakia put their money where their mouth is, and they're sending a boatload of MiGs into Ukraine. God bless them. That'll help. But the comments have split the conservative pundits all over the place. And you see headlines in the National Review, Ron DeSantis gets Ukraine war wrong. Questions for Ron DeSantis on Russia and Ukraine. To DeSantis, Ukraine statement was careful electoral politics, and that's a good thing, question mark. A Gallup poll released, I think it was the beginning of the week, suggested that this view is unpopular with most registered Republicans. Of those polled, 60% said that Russia's military power is a critical threat to the U.S., and that's what I was talking about. In contrast to 50% of independents and 45% of Democrats who answered likewise. Now, you know, I mean, probably what DeSantis needs to do is elaborate more on what he said rather than, you know, these one or two answers to these Fox questions. But there's a Republican strategist. His name is, I can't remember, John Feary. His last name, I think, is spelled F-E-E-H-E-R-Y. He described the issue as being kind of a 50-50 thing based upon most polling is seen, making it more of a toss-up, said it's likely, you know, a win for DeSantis to be out of step with Washington Republicans. There are a lot of, you know, rural Republicans who will like that. These positions of DeSantis as an outsider, as a populist, would make him sort of the neutral heir to Trump and the MAGA mantle should Trump falter. The fact that many Republican senators who are closely associated with the political establishment are criticizing him is probably a net positive for DeSantis. Follow me? I would agree. It probably would work out his way. Now, while Pence and Haley shared harsh words, DeSantis denied Trump the opportunity to attack him, something the former president has tried to do repeatedly, and DeSantis has mostly sidestepped. There's a New Hampshire-based GOP strategist named David Carney said DeSantis might prove to be ahead of the curve on public opinion with this one. Quote, if Biden continues to bumble around on framing this as a national challenge, good point, it might benefit those who are taking more of an isolationistic position. Pundits who claim to know this issue or that how the issue will impact the primaries next year are full of, begins with an S, the competition's issues and standing and the issue environment in January of next year will determine how these positions are going to be playing out. That's, again, David Carney, who's a GOP-based strategist in New Hampshire. Now, some have argued that while the tone of DeSantis' comments differs sharply from Biden's, the extent of the policy differences may not be so different. I mean, when the governor previously said Ukraine shouldn't receive a blank check, Heritage Foundation researcher Victoria Coates described the statement as common sense. So, but the controversy may signal that any honeymoon period between DeSantis enjoyed with the Republican primary voters might be over, and he's going to go his own way. But that may be a good step for him politically. So, I mean, DeSantis has made his name primarily or largely on fighting pandemic restrictions, and that's what I talked about a little bit earlier. And that's something that if the voters are still thinking COVID-19 in 2024, he can win on because he kept his state open. He kept the beaches open. He kept the businesses open, and they rocked, they rolled, and they beat it, you know. And he's DeSantis has been promoting, you know, culture war battles over education and the woke politics of it all. Good point. Great standing for him with the party, which has his social media accounts have stayed focused, you know, for the most part on Ukraine. His words outside of Ukraine off of social media have had to do with this other battle, you know, going against the so-called culture wars in Florida, if you want to call them that. I think it's kind of a crude name, but I can't think of anything better. Anyway, that's a little bit on where he is on Ukraine. Now, when we come back, we'll look at Donald Trump and what he says about Ukraine and how this war needs to end there. And then we'll talk about some of the things that are happening in that war. And then we'll move on to some stuff in California. And then we'll move on to Gwyneth Paltrow and her butt.
The Ray Appleton Podcast, right now. KMJNow.com.
Donald Trump's opinion on Ukraine, which has really not been made all that much public. It's easy to say, and I think it's probably fairly accurate, even though it's just a guess, that if Donald Trump were in the White House now in a second term, there wouldn't be a war in Ukraine. Can we agree on that? That probably Putin wouldn't have the courage to do this? Right. I think even people who don't like Trump are, you know, reluctantly nodding their head. So here he is again, trying to get that second term in 2024. And he released a video statement yesterday calling for peace without delay in Ukraine and for ending the, quote, entire globalist neocon establishment. What does that mean? Quote, every day this proxy battle in Ukraine continues, we risk global war. We must be absolutely clear that our objective is to immediately have total cessation of hostilities. All of the shooting has to stop. This is central to the issue. We need peace now without delay. Well, okay, yeah, for sure. Now, President Trump on the difference between the globalist establishment class. God, this is going to get heady. I hope not. I'll try and normalize it a little bit, simplify it for us dodos. And those who are truly committed to stopping the Ukrainian war and dismantling the entire neocon nation-building industrial complex in Washington. His remarks expanded on how he recently gave Fox News host Tucker Carlson, who posted, I told you, 6 questions about Ukraine to the top declared potential Republican candidates. That's what DeSantis was responding to. In the video, Trump slammed Biden's leadership, saying, we never have been closer to World War III than we are today under Joe Biden. A global conflict between nuclear-armed powers would mean death and destruction on a scale unmatched in human history. It would be a nuclear Armageddon. Nothing is more important than avoiding this nightmare. And we will avoid it. But we need new leadership. Trump also called for the dismantlement, again, of the entire globalist neocon establishment that is perpetually dragging us into endless wars, pretending to be fighting for freedom and democracy abroad. But while they turn us into, you know, a third world country and a third world dictatorship right here at home, end quote. Now, the state, and I'm quoting again, the State Department and the defense bureaucracy, the intelligence services and all the rest need to be completely overhauled and reconstituted to fire the deep staters and put America first. We have put America first. We have put America first. Donald Trump, end quote. Now, he also called for fundamentally reevaluating NATO's purpose and NATO's mission. Maybe not a bad idea. He said, responding to some of the criticism of his recent, you know, Ukrainian comments that Russia is not the greatest threat to Western civilization. It's probably more than anything else ourselves and some of the horrible USA-hating people that represent us. It's the abolition of our national borders. It's the failure to police our own cities. It's the destruction of the rule of law from within. It's the collapse of the nuclear family and the fertility rates. Like nobody can believe this is happening. It's the Marxist who would have us become a godless nation, worshiping at the altar of race and gender and environment. And it's the globalist class that has made us totally dependent upon China and other foreign countries that did basically hate us. According to Professor Trump, that's sounding all very professorial. So Trump added by, you know, evicting the sick and corrupt establishment, end quote. Now, these globalists want to squander all of the American strength, blood, treasure, chasing monsters, phantoms overseas while keeping us distracted from the havoc that they're creating right here at home. These forces are doing more damage to America than Russia and China could ever have dreamed. Evicting the sick and the corrupt establishment is a monumental task for the next president. And I'm the only one that can do it. Of course he would say that. And I'm the only one who can get the job done. Mm-hmm. I know exactly what has to be done. Mm-hmm. And there is Donald Trump on Ukraine. No real hard-nosed, hands-on policy of how to end that war over there. Just saying, elect me and I'll get it done. Which indeed may be true. I mean, how the hell do I know? Now, looking at the war very quickly, because I realize that a lot of people are getting burned out on it, but that doesn't make it go away. It's still happening. Slovakia has agreed to send a load of MiG fighters to Ukraine. The government today approved a plan to give Ukraine a fleet of 13 Soviet-era MiG-29s. Good plane. That's great. Becoming the second NATO member country to heed the Ukrainian government's pleas for warplanes to help defend against the Russian invasion. So that, you know, the Russians are going to get it thrown right back in their face from some old Russian planes. You know, the Soviet-era MiG-29. Good jet. So the prime minister of that country said during a news conference announcing the decision that his government was on the right side of history. He said the military aid was the key to ensuring Ukraine can defend itself and all of Europe against Russia. The key point, I mean, they've got to keep that war there and win it there before it spreads outside of those borders. That's why I said earlier, Biden needs to use his bully pulpit, which he doesn't even know exists, to tell those countries to produce more for Ukraine. Poland announced yesterday that it would give Ukraine around a dozen MiG-29s, starting with four expected to be delivered in the coming days. So that's 17 MiGs. That's good. That'll help, you know. Both Poland and Slovakia had indicated previously that they were ready to grant Ukrainian requests for military aircraft. And that's, you know, only part of the wider coalition. The government of Slovakia is moving, you know, closely coordinated with Polish side and the Ukrainians and all other allies, end quote. That's the prime minister again. So the Kremlin spokesman, here we go with the Russian response, Dmitry Peskov, said that the promised planes were another example of NATO members raising the level of their direct involvement in the conflict. What do you expect them to do? That's why they're there. The equipment deliveries naturally won't have any impact on the outcome of this special military operation. Still using that term? But it may bring more misfortune to the Ukraine and Ukrainian people. And that's Peskov during a conference call with reporters. Now, is Slovakia doing this out of the kindness of their heart? Sure, but there's a price tag. They're going to get 200 million euros. That's about 213 million bucks from the European Union as compensation, with unspecified arms from the United States and 700 million euros, 745 million, in exchange for giving the MiG-29 fleet to Ukraine. So, I mean, there's a nice chunk of change. But there's, you know, it's still that nation reaching out to do something rather than us, although we've spent a lot of money there. I have to admit it. Anyway, a little bit more on Russia and Ukraine when we come back on News Talk 580 1059 KMJ and the Ray Appleton program. You got something you want to say about all this? You do, you do? 490-5858. Toll free from anywhere, 800-776-5858. With the weekend almost upon us, I know it's St. Patrick's Day. I haven't said a word, but I'm going to tell you, the amateurs are going to be out tonight. Friday night for St. Patrick's Day. Michael and I were talking about it earlier. It's just going to blend right into tomorrow, and the whole weekend is going to be a load of people out there driving that should not be driving. Oh, my God. Be careful, please.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next correction, Richie, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Right now,
the Valley's legendary Ray Appleton.
The Ray Appleton Podcast, KMJNow.com.
Coming up in just a couple of seconds, I want to talk about the saboteurs that Russia sent into the Black Sea to knock down that drone by splashing it with fuel and then bumping into it. The videos of this, I hope you've seen, very dramatic. Very obviously, this was done with the intent to down, you know, our particular instrument in international waters. First, Ann, you're on KMJ. What's going on? Hi.
Hey, Ray. I just wanted to say I agree with you about a lot of things in this situation. I happen to be a middle-of-the-road Democrat, but since the beginning, in fact, I think I talked to Philip about this, I know what this is. This is Sudetenland.
What is?
Ukraine is Sudetenland.
Okay.
If NATO doesn't stop it, the whole reason, yes, I'm sure the Slovakians can use the money. Other reason is they know he's marching into them right after Poland. And this is the problem I have with people like Tucker Carlson and that whole ilk over there. Do they not understand, or should I just, you know, I mean, you may as well call him Neville Chamberlain. Didn't we prove appeasement didn't work, or
Amen.
Have I been gone somewhere?
I mean, you look at Poland, you look at Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, Slovakia, the Czech Republic, all of those, they are shaking in their boots for the reason that you've stated. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Finland has come in and has joined with us. Finland has always been isolationist. Don't they get what this means? Or am I being an idiot? Please tell me if I am. I would feel much better.
No, you're not being an idiot. I mean, it's exactly the way I see it, and other individuals who are into world geopolitics and know the past see it. And it's so funny because, I mean, it's ironic because the whole point of Putin's war to the Russian people going to Ukraine was to chase Nazis. Yet the term Sudetenland is very applicable to what's going on here.
Oh, I know. That's why I used it.
Yeah.
Mind you, I don't want our boys on the ground. That is not, I don't like war, Ray. I hate it more than you will ever know.
God, we all do. Yeah.
But the thing is, I wanted, when this whole thing first started, I wanted our, you know, us to send enough stuff over there to knock them back on their tracks and let them know this was not acceptable, that we would not put up with this. And that as a world nation, the world would not put up with this again, because I'm really afraid, especially if, and Trump, I have to laugh, him saying it never would have happened. It never would have happened because Putin didn't have to. Trump sees himself like Putin, like Xi, like Kim Jong-il. And that's what he, you know, so I don't see Trump or the guy from Florida, DeSantis, doing what needs to be done. And mind you, I don't think that the Democrats are doing what needs to be done either.
Interesting position. Okay. Yeah.
Well, no, because I'm a middle-of-the-road Democrat. It's like I said, I am just as appalled at the stupidity of the left as I am right now as I am at the stupidity of the right. So.
All right, Ann, I got to go because I'm up against the clock, but I'm kind of there with you. You know, my fear is how this will spread out of Ukraine if it's not contained there. You know, I mean, Georgia, there's Chechnya, even though Chechnya is, you know, playing a role in this with Russia, but I'm sure that they would not want to be sucked up again. But apparently, if you've seen the video of the drone being splashed by the two Russian planes, Russia sent this team of saboteurs on a mission to interfere with the Western military in that aid to Ukraine. And this is according to Polish intelligence. Quote, the suspects conducted intelligence activities against Poland, prepared acts of sabotage at the request of the Russian intelligence. This is according to the Polish prime minister, interior minister. And he pointed towards a shadowy struggle over Ukraine's supply lines with the Russian and the Western European officials prosecuting while they tried to, you know, this whole thing, while trying to avoid a clash between Moscow and NATO. But Poland hosts one of the major military installations known to have established to coordinate a provision of aid, and that's well known to everybody. And the saboteur activity has begun with the splashing of that drone, and apparently we're now hearing that even though Russia denied, now that it's out, the video is out, taken from the drone itself, of being bumped by that plane and having the propeller bent, and then by remote control, obviously, we had to bring that drone down. We had to scrape and scratch all the information out of it. We had to clean it and make sure there was nothing there of intelligence that they could use. And the Russian fighter pilots who were involved in that incident with the U.S. drone, resulting in its crash, are going to be given state awards. And that was announced today by the Russian defense. And I guess this move is probably a big, note from Moscow and the Kremlin's intention to just get more aggressive towards anything that we do with a surveillance flight in international water. You know, the U.S. military said that it ditched, as I just told you, this MQ-9 Reaper in the Black Sea. I forget what day it was, Tuesday? After a pair of those Russian jets jumped fuel on the surveillance drone, and then one of them struck at the propeller when it was flying, you know, in international airspace. And I think if you haven't seen the video yet, you need to catch it on Google. It'll blow your mind. This was a dangerous stunt, but they were able to pull off what they wanted to pull off, and that was, you know, bringing this thing down. We brought it down, but you know, the words are that it could have stayed up with that bent prop. We could have brought it in to a landing somewhere, but it wasn't close enough to where it needed to be in friendly turf. Yeah. So, I mean, it's probably going to, this signal, it's probably going to get worse rather than getting better. You want to go see Jeff Dunham? I got one more pair of tickets. I'm going to give them away right now. You lucky person. It's the 23rd, which I think is Thursday night? Yeah. I got a pair of seats for you. Be caller number 4. We're going to make it a quickie. 490-5858, the only number you can call. So call now and take, please, this last pair of tickets to see the remarkable Jeff Dunham. 490-5858. It's all yours. Caller 4.
It's the Ray Appleton Podcast from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band and they must think this kid must have just been handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.